Remember, God filled them with the Holy Spirit. And they just couldn't help it. They had to do it. It's like that. They must do it.
So, it probably would have been easier for them just to not say it, to not preach, to not teach, to not suffer any persecution. But God doesn't tell us to do the easy things. I know sometimes as I go about my day, it's just so much easier. Like when I go through the McDonald's line and I see this person, like I don't know if they're saved or not, but I'm looking at them like, I could ask them, but it's easier for me to just grab my fries and drink and get out there. It's easy. But remember, God tells us to do the hard things. What about in your life? Is it easier for you to obey man or God? Is your life too easy? So during COVID, there was a pastor named James Coates, and he was in Canada. And you remember COVID time when all the churches pretty much were shut down. If they were open, they had a hefty fine. But Coates, he allowed his church to stay open. They still met on Sunday, and he still proclaimed the gospel. And because of this, they put him in jail. So he was in jail for around 30 days. But what do you think, like when he stands before God? Like, do you think God would be like, man, you was wrong. You should have listened to the government. The government told you to do something and you didn't do it. Or do you think God would be like, you were right. You stood up for me and the people when the government was wrong. And I like every time they ask the apostles about these things. They say, don't speak in the name of Jesus. And immediately, they go into the gospel. They start talking about Jesus. Like they just don't get it. They're just not listening. So in verse 30, they say, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. They just couldn't help but to declare the gospel. And I think that's how we should be. We shouldn't let anybody stop us. Not even our fear. Not even the world. Nothing should stop us from declaring this good news. And lastly, we'll look at the punishment and outcome. In verses 32 through 42, when you see Gamaliel giving the council advice about what to do next, they kind of really don't know. They're like, man, we arresting these guys. We telling them not to do it. They're not listening. And he tells them about some others that had some type of faith, but it wasn't real. And eventually, it will fail. What he said about the apostles, like, if it is real, if it's from God, you could find yourself opposing God. And it's going to last no matter what you do. No matter how much you try to stop this gospel, it's still going to spread. So they took this advice. And they let him go. But not just with a warning. They didn't just give him a slap on the wrist. They beat him first. So they had 40 lashes minus one. But then they charged them again not to speak in this name. And when the disciples, well, the apostles got out, they were rejoicing. They were glad to be counted worthy to suffer for Christ. I'm not going to lie, I'm not there yet. I don't know if I want to suffer. If the suffering comes my way, I just have to take it. But I'm not looking for it. The most persecution I have ever had was when I was doing evangelism here at Newcastle. So we would do evangelism in Goodfield and Morton. And a couple of times the police got called on us. And I was pretty sad. I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on. Like, I kind of want to chill from the evangelism for a while. I'm not down with the police like that. So So I was just kind of down and didn't want to do it. And I remember talking to Elder Kyle. He was like, that's nothing but the devil. The devil trying to stop the gospel from being spread. I'm like, you're right. He sure is. So I'm like, so I just kept trucking, not worrying about it. I like what it says in Matthew 5 about those that are persecuted. Verses 11 and 12. It says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So the apostles are so happy. They know they have these rewards in heaven. And look at verse 32, what they do. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Nothing could stop them from preaching about Jesus except for death. If I went to jail, it would be a little hard, I'm not going to lie. But nothing could stop them. Now I know everybody isn't called to preach and teach, but we are all witnesses. If you believe, you're a witness. Now you don't have to stand before everybody and preach the gospel. It could be a small crowd. It could be one person that you're seeking to share with. Just want to give you a little advice on evangelism. It really starts with prayer. So, if you are praying, if you've been praying for somebody for years, or weeks, or months, don't stop. Keep on praying. If it's the Lord's will, they will be saved. All you have to do is be faithful and continue to pray for them. If you're not praying for any of the lost, you need to ask the Lord to burden your heart for the lost people. I know you have lost people in your family. There's lost people at school. There's lost people in your city. There's lost people everywhere. So ask him to give you that burden to start praying for them, for their salvation. And pray and ask for boldness. Boldness to go out and share the gospel. It could be with your sibling who's not saved. It could be with one of your friends that's not saved. But ask for that courage and boldness. Then next, just do it. Just share the gospel. I know everybody here knows John's 3:16, right? You can use that one verse to share the gospel with somebody. And don't worry, you are going to mess up. And that's okay. It's not your perfect words. It's Jesus' living word that saves people. I've messed up plenty of times. I just try to make adjustments. You just give them that basic gospel. And God doesn't say that they're going to be saved. That's His work, not ours. Our job is just to be faithful. So who is that one person in your life that you want to be saved? Or who is that one enemy in your life that you don't care for, that you need to be praying for them to be saved? If you're not praying for anybody, pick one person and start praying for them. The more you pray for somebody, the more you love them. And the more you'll be willing to share the gospel with them. Like, I was saved because I was in college and I was walking out of class and there was this guy out there with a Bible. And he read the scriptures to me. He told me that I was a sinner, that I was an enemy of God. And all I wanted, I didn't know I was an enemy. I just thought I was an okay sinner. But if you're a sinner, you're a sinner. And you're going to hell. And that day, He led me to Christ. He didn't have a whole bunch of big words. It was just a simple gospel. Like, you need to be born again. That simple. That day I was born again. And guess what? I've never led anybody to Christ. But that doesn't change the fact for me going out and trying to win souls for the Lord. It's part of our job. Be encouraged. It's a lot of fun. Like, when we was out there sharing the gospel, man, it's so much fun. You feel like you're in the book of Acts. Like, you out there just having a good time. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word. Thank you that it's living and active. Thank you that it sanctifies us, Lord. May you please help us in our small groups. May we be open and honest. And may we be sharpened by each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.